We do want your mic drops all day long. Use the 101 ESPN app, BT, Ron's Randy, and we had the announcement live this morning here on 101 ESPN that St. Louis has been awarded the 28th MLS franchise. And in addition to it being great to have another sports team here, and we like it because we're in the sports business, but to get another sports team here, to get another big company in St. Louis is great for our community, great for the city of St. Louis specifically, and great for the region. And I couldn't be happier.
You don't have to like soccer. You don't. You don't have to like soccer to celebrate the day, and that's the biggest thing. This is a celebration for St. Louis getting something done, and it's going to bring plenty of people to downtown that maybe aren't down there right now. Maybe they're not Blues fans, and maybe they're not Cardinal fans, but maybe they love soccer, and that's where their lives are, and they'll bring their families in. And maybe you have younger kids that say, man, I love soccer. I wake up early. I watch Premier League all the time. Love to have that in my backyard. Look, this is it's a celebration. It's a great day. It's fantastic. I love the turnout today for the announcement. Everybody knew this was coming, and there's just such excitement around it, and it's finally real. It's finally tangible.
I don't know what sort of economic impact the team itself or the stadium itself is going to have for the city, but I'm at least hoping for just the residual effects of a new stadium being in that part of town, going along with the aquarium that is being built. And you see the Ferris wheel from the highway now. So you know all the stuff that's happening right there just south of Enterprise Center, just west of Enterprise Center. And what they're planning to do, or what the real hope is, the entire corridor running from the Arch grounds all the way to the Central West End. And you've got the Cortex Complex. And what is the area right by SLU that's being built now? Is
Midtown?
It's in Midtown.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
It's like a shopping center, maybe they're going to be living spaces, Icon or something. I don't know, maybe that's completely wrong. But everything along that corridor, any improvement we can get is such a wonderful thing for the city. Because what I want people to look at, and not just people from the outside, but people from the county who are afraid to go downtown or don't like going downtown, as much as we can do to make downtown a place that's a destination, the better it's going to be for the entire region.
No doubt about it. Now, one of the things that we have to do, especially over the course of the next 3-4 years, is teach BT the game of soccer. Give him any and all tups by leaving a mic drop. If you can
what?
Leave
any and all what?
What?
Tups?
What is a tup?
Let me look at my rundown here. No, it certainly says tups.
Yeah. So
I don't know much about soccer.
Guys, real quick, it's not a soccer word. Tup isn't a soccer word.
Are you sure? It's
guys,
probably like kit.
Guys, look at your keyboard.
It's supposed to be tips.
All right.
The There's U is right next to the
what
I.
What did you say?
Tips.
Okay. Heard that wrong.
What'd you think I said?
Don't know.
It's hard to give
not
those
tips.
With the mic drop feature. On
maybe.
The 101 ESPN.
Oh,
now.
So we need tips is what we need from the listeners about soccer. I need to know a lot of things. Like, what is it called when you start the game? Is it ball drop? Like puck drop? Is it the same thing? Is that what that is?
It's kickoff.
Kickoff.
Yeah.
But they're not really kicking it off.
It's first kick.
Is that what is it?
I don't know.
We need
I
to
think
know.
It's kickoff.
Who brings the orange slices? Is it the home team or the away team?
I don't know if that
home
happens
team.
In
all
professional.
All right, that's good to know also.
I don't think it's.
Do you wear a scarf when it's hot?
Yes.
Yes.
It's fashionable.
Should we get behind vuvuzelas?
Yes.
Like, yes.
I need to hear. I need to know about these things.
I got to bring
what
my vuvuzela.
What's that time at the end of the 90 minutes where it's
extra
just
time.
Magic?
Extra
where it's
time.
Like, oh, it's 7 minutes
well,
or
that's
two.
That's because of the guy that died on the field that they had to take off on the stretcher.
Oh, so it's like a moment of silence, but they play through it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And
I'm learning.
They don't put him on the stretcher right when they lift him up. He ends up in your crotch, you know? Like that kind of thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
But anyway, we do need tips for BT.
Yeah.
He's going to learn some soccer today. What does he need to know about soccer and MLS? Mm-hmm. So, Mike, drop us.
There are a couple of people that never gave up despite the vote that went against St. Louis a few years ago. Jim Cavanaugh, obviously one of them. He was part of the ownership group that hoped to get the franchise here 2 years ago. And because of the vote, that never happened. But he stuck with it and partnered now with Carolyn Kendall Betts and the group from Enterprise. And the other guy that never gave up on St. Louis was the commissioner, Don Garber. And he was steadfast going back 15, 20 years from a time where a guy named Jeff Duncan wanted to build a stadium in Collinsville and MLS wanted a more urban stadium. But Don Garber has always wanted to have a team in St. Louis because St. Louis has been the soccer capital of America. And he kind of got his wish today to finally have a team here. And this can be a flagship franchise for this league because there aren't many fan bases that know soccer like the St. Louis fan base does.
Well, to me, that was actually one of the most astounding things about hearing from Garber today was that, the history, the timelines. He said it was been over two decades of discussions we've had about St. Louis. It would have been so easy after that vote went against soccer, went against the stadium for the taxes there, for them to say, look, we've got a handful of other very viable markets that we could dive into, but they didn't. They certainly, I mean, they're going out there and they're scouring and they're looking at every market and, you know, doing their due diligence. But in the back of the head, the MLS still wanted St. Louis and wanted them here and wanted somebody to be able to get behind it. And that's exactly what this ownership group was able to do, privately financing this thing, getting a very sustainable project, and finally got it done. What a nice difference, what a stark difference between the NFL's relationship in St. Louis and the MLS's. I mean, that's a great way to start off a partnership.
It's nice they're excited about having it here, and they really wanted us to make it work, and the city is going to make it work. And you mentioned the ownership group really stepping up and helping facilitate this, because I do recall us talking about it after the vote in 2017 and how really, and I think that was demoralizing at the time, because I remember the conversations we were having at the time, and that conversation was, if it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen at all. And that's when we didn't know that there was going to be an ownership group that would step up and really take things over and run with it. And they did that. And this is really important for St. Louis. Again, it's not going to fix everything, but it is absolutely a step in the right direction, and I'm glad we got this thing right, and I'm looking forward to a couple of years from now when play starts.
And it was cool to see St. Louis athletes that have raised their kids here and know about youth soccer in St. Louis, Orlando Pace, Chris Pronger, Jimmy Edmonds, Ozzie Smith, Bernie Federico, who know the importance of soccer in this community, and they were all there to support the effort today. And St. Louis came out in force. We talked a couple of months ago when the Blues won the Stanley Cup about how those watch parties were some of the best that St. Louis has to offer. Today was, again, some of the best that St. Louis has to offer.
It's great. I can't wait to get into the scene of soccer, like, and see what it's all about.
All right.
I have never been to a soccer, I was going to say game, match.
Match? On the pitch?
I've never had a chance to, well, I've had chances. I've just never gone
right
to one of these. I'm looking forward to it. Certainly, I'm going to have to dip my toes in the water before this even starts. I'm going to have to learn the game. I know I've as a show, and Randy, you've done this before. We've had the Luligans invite us out before. I'm going to have to take them up on that one of these days because I got to figure out what's going on here.
They're the best. They were out today.
That's what I hear here in full force.
Yeah, they were fantastic. And that will be, that's such a great start for a fan base here in St. Louis to have that built in St. Louis Luligans. By the way, we were trying to think of the Foundry.
The Foundry
over by St. Louis U. That's the name of that development.
Okay. Yep. All right. And there's going to be a theater, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot of business that's going
awesome
in there. There's a ton of construction on Forest Park Avenue there.
Yeah, $8 billion in the city, in the general downtown area.
Right.
So it's pretty good. It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Obviously, MLS Commissioner Don Carber was in town today, and he sat with Kevin Wheeler after the announcement and talked about our soccer history and what's next on the to-do list and much more. We've got all of that next on 101 ESPN. That's MLS Commissioner Don Carber, a.k.a. the Soccer Don, on Twitter. And obviously, St. Louis already tried to bring the MLS here and failed, but this group was persistent, and as we talked about in the last segment, guys, it helped that Don Carber was all about St. Louis, as he mentioned. He applauded the ownership group on their effort to not let that failure hold them back.
This was a mad dash. I mean, we lost a vote, as you well know, not too long ago, and it was a strong ownership group, and Jim Cavanaugh was a big part of it. We had the same stadium site, but it just we probably didn't go about it in a way that would ensure that we had success. And I'm a believer, you know, as somebody who played a lot of sports growing up, and I believe this in business, that failure isn't fatal. You know, you've got to really learn from those obstacles and challenges, and you can't run and hide when things don't go right. And we never lost hope. Jim never lost hope.
Right.
And it was shortly thereafter that that the Taylor family stepped up and said, you know, we're such a big believer in the city. We've been investing in the Gateway Project and the Soldiers Project and really want to be part of growing St. Louis back to the prominence and back to the leadership that it had as a great American city.
Yeah.
And we think that maybe we can be a part of the MLS effort. And that led to maybe to Andy sitting down and saying, we're going to get this done. And I've got this all-female ownership group, my nieces and daughters, and, you know, we're going to get over the finish line. That wasn't even a year ago. It's pretty remarkable.
First of all, I love the commissioner. I think he's a great guy. But
How many times do you say that, by the way, about commissioners in general?
Yeah, right. Not many. I would suggest that there are probably times when failure is fatal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and honestly, we could do segments upon segments of examples.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I think we have.
65780, yeah.
Apparently not. You can fail at landing a plane and still make it out multiple times.
Not always.
Not
That's
everybody's
true,
Harrison
not always.
Ford. Or the Earnhardt family.
Yeah. That one lucked out. That's good news.
Yeah.
But there are what we're trying to say is there are fatal failures.
Yeah, there are. But this wasn't one of them.
Oh,
and
good.
I do have to provide kudos to Jim Cavanaugh because he did put a group back together, didn't he? And we talked after that failure a couple of years ago in about May of 2017. I was told that, another group is going to be put together, and there was confidence that a team would wind up here. And lo and behold, the Taylor group was the group that came in. And there's Carolyn Kendall Betts and her family have so much passion for our community and trying to make our community a better place. And that combination of Carolyn Kendall Betts and Jim Cavanaugh really sold the commissioner.
It was perfect. I'll tell you what, after this thing got voted down in 2017, I didn't think that there was a chance at all. I, you know, as nice as it was to hear is, we're not going to quit and we're going to keep going back at this. The thought was, if it's not going to go down now, if it's not going to happen, if people can't get behind it, it's never going to happen. And lo and behold, a family steps up with private funding and can do something like this. But I'm telling you, I really didn't think that this day was going to come. I thought it was going to be another, we might get something like keep the Rams or maybe it's going to happen and then just gets ripped away. It's nice to feel fulfilled after something like this.
Yeah, and I was right there with you. We just talked about it last segment that I know. At the time, we had that show, and we probably did it a couple of days in a row, and I know that we talked about it leading up to the vote. We talked about it after the fact that if it didn't happen then, it just wasn't going to happen. But what you weren't able to foresee is a group of people that were willing to put their money into it and make it happen, and that's the only thing that ultimately led to where we are today. Obviously, this is really great for St. Louis. Certainly, there is enough soccer history and love in this area, I think, to really keep this alive. And not just that. I mean, I think it's going to thrive here. I think there are very few markets that you're pretty guaranteed or pretty sure that's going to happen. I think this is one of them.
That soccer history is what kept Don Garber pounding the rock.
You know, that's one of the things that drove us to want a team here since the league was founded in the mid-90s. There's soccer history here, and soccer doesn't have that same level of history in many other cities.
Right.
You know, the guys from the Hill who played in the 50 World Cup, and I remember meeting Mayor Slay, you know, back in 2005 and having dinner with him and a bunch of people that he brought together, including Jim Cavanaugh, by the way. Yeah. And he said, you know, I played as a kid. The governor at that time was at that dinner, and he said that he played, and you have this history of the immigrants coming here at the turn of the century and a lot of the education being parochial school based, and those folks brought the game from England and Ireland and Italy, and there's a soccer depth here. And now in America, we're going to cities where there's not a lot of soccer history. Cincinnati, which is doing incredibly well, Nashville, Tennessee, that don't have that same level of generational support for the game. And I think that just goes to show how America has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And now there isn't a city in America or Canada that could not support an MLS team. It's just a matter of getting the right owner, the right stadium plan, and the right configuration as to how you make it all work.
They have such self-awareness in that league. They aren't building 50 and 60 and 70,000 seat stadiums. And when he says, there isn't a city in America that could not support an MLS team with an 18,000, 22,000 seat stadium. He's exactly right. They can go into any college-sized town and thrive. They're going into now Austin, Texas is getting to be a St. Louis-sized town. Yeah. But they're huge. Columbus is a big city. But they're going into smaller venues, too, and they're going to succeed in those areas.
Just sheer optics, too. It looks so much better if you have a smaller place that's filled up than a bigger place, and it looks, you know, patchy.
Now, I know Atlanta was getting like 50,000 people in their first season.
That's unreal.
It is. It's, and I didn't think they would do that, especially considering... and maybe it's a bigger soccer hotbed than I thought it was, but how much difficulty they've had filling other stadiums in their lifetimes, you know. But and it's, I know that they haven't had the best teams always, but even those Braves teams had a difficult time filling that ballpark. I'm a little surprised that in year one they're getting like 50, 55,000 people watching soccer every day.
It's pretty amazing.
It was.
And Taylor Twellman was on with Bernie and Michelle this morning, and when the All-Star game last year was played in Atlanta, he asked Arthur Blank, who owns both franchises, the Falcons and the Atlanta United, what surprised him most. And he said that so many people want to trade in their Falcons tickets to get soccer tickets. They want to leave football and go to soccer. And that, I think, is a testament to the demographics that soccer is drawing. They're a young demographic, and that's part of the rapid growth of MLS. And Kevin Wheeler this morning asked Don Garber about that growth.
I had always hoped, as did everybody in the league, our owners, our staff, our players. You know, Taylor Twellman will talk about when he was in the league, the belief in what it could be. Yeah. But it's fair to say we never thought we'd have the level of momentum and stickiness, if you will, that exists today. I was in Charlotte last week. The mayor, the corporate community, you know, the governor, all rolling out the red carpet to try to support their bid. Sacramento remains very energized to become an MLS team. Las Vegas has been doing the same thing. The mayor there is the cheerleader for the whole project. And I think it speaks to the momentum that the sport has in North America. That's something that we helped drive, but we didn't create. You know, that the environment for where soccer is was a natural movement. As young people who grew up with the game now became consumers and influencers and parents of kids that they are now bringing to games, the World Cup and then both the men's and women's side and the success of both teams has driven a lot of interest. Globalization and bringing the Premier League and the Bundesliga and Serie A and La Liga to our shores and having people be able to watch them no different than they could watch the NFL, Major League Baseball, or MLS. Right. All these factors have been sort of data points that have driven the momentum behind the sport. And we've just been really focused on properly managing that.
That is Don Garber, commissioner of MLS, and we have a team. And now it's just a matter of getting the stadium built and getting rolling. Three new members will be inducted into the Cardinal Hall of Fame this weekend, and Jason Isringhausen will finally get to put on that red jacket. Izzy joins us next on 101 ESPN. We are so looking forward to this weekend when Scott Rolen and Jason Isringhausen are inducted into the Cardinal Hall of Fame. And what a great honor for those two, the Cardinals' all-time leader in saves. He's going to join us in just a moment here on 101 ESPN. And Scott Rolen arrived near the trade deadline in 2002 and wound up being a key component of a National League pennant winner in 2005 and obviously the World Series champs in 2006. And one of those guys, BT, that I know for you personally was somebody who helped you calm you down a little bit, not only by his actions playing third base, but by his words coming over to the mound, too.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people here, huh? Yes, sir, Mr. Rolen. Well, good luck. Oh, man, Scott. Scott is the best. You guys know how I feel about Izzy, man. Izzy helped me out so much throughout the years and to this day. Just a good friend of mine. I appreciate everything he did for my career. And it's an exciting time for St. Louis. We spent today talking about MLS coming, and it's fantastic. Tomorrow we're going to talk about XFL. But this weekend is going to be all about the Cardinals, and it's going to be all about the guys that wore that uniform and wore it so well. And you know, we're going to get a chance to talk to Izzy about it. He said it many a times, but you know what this means to Jason Isringhausen. I mean, he grew up in Brighton, Illinois, grew up a Cardinal fan. He wants this so bad. He's wanted this moment forever. I'm excited that he's going to get it alongside Scott Rolen and Mort Cooper.
And these are the guys we're talking about now. They're certainly two of my favorites. And I you know my love of Scott Rolen. I think the fact he isn't even in the conversation for being in the actual Hall of Fame, I think that's a bit of a travesty. I really do think people should think higher of him in general than they do.
I know certainly we do. Choi kept him out when he had that collision at first base.
Oh, because of that. Yeah, and I don't really think that should not have prevented
him. It should not have, but I think the injuries prevented him from reaching some magic numbers.
And it was still, the career was still long enough to warrant it. And I know sometimes third basemen have a more difficult time for whatever reason that position is devalued, but damn, man, nobody, he was so good at that position. Such a terrific hitter. And I, again, continually think about what he would be like on this particular team, and if you had somebody who was a fraction of what he was playing at third base for this Cardinals team, you're looking at a really good lineup.
I still think that Scott Rolen is going to be one of those guys that gains a lot of traction. It was his second year of voting this year. He came in 13th. He had 17.2% of the vote. And I just feel like he's one of those guys that's going to gain traction with the younger voters or those that definitely take into mind not just the magic numbers of, all right, how many home runs, how many RBI, but the overall player.
Yeah.
Your WAR, people. Scott Rolen's a hell of a WAR player.
He's a good
player.
WAR player.
Yes. He's a Hall of Famer.
He is in my book, too.
What, a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I think it's a shame that he's not considered highly.
Randomly, right now, and this is a conversation for down the road, certainly, at least 5 years after they're done playing. But when you look at the current Cardinals team, how many Cardinal Hall of Famers do you think that we have? We know that there's two, for sure. Adam Wainwright's a Cardinal Hall of Famer. Yadier Molina is a Cardinal Hall of Famer, along with, which many of us believe, a Cooperstown Hall of Famer. Outside of those two, Randy, we had this conversation. I don't know if it was yesterday
or
Friday. I said I believe that Matt Carpenter is going to be a Cardinal Hall of Famer at some point. What do you think about Matt Carpenter?
I think that absence will probably make people feel better about his career. I think so. I think that there'll be a time where he'll be the logical guy to vote for the Cardinal Hall of Fame.
Certainly not a shoo-in, you know, but...
No, but, and I think if they would win with him and he could contribute at a high level to winning, I think that'd be huge for him. I think those are the only guys that you look at right now on the team. But Keith Hernandez should have been in and will get in at some point. There are still some guys from those, especially the teams in the 80s. I think Terry Pendleton should at some point make it, and I don't know that he will. Edgar Renteria is absolutely a Cardinal Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think as we get through some more votes, maybe even a guy like David Eckstein with that World Series MVP on his resume, I think he's got a really good chance too.
So I would love to see Eck in.
What are there, about 50 that are in right now?
We're in our seventh year, so 721 maybe?
I think there's more than that.
I'm seeing
56 names, but they were voted in. You're saying, is that what you're saying, Randy?
Yeah, and then you've got your regular Cardinal Hall of Famers, too.
Yeah. I think I'm seeing 56 names.
I just did
a little gorilla math. I went 7 times 8, and I came up with 56. It might be 57 with a name down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but exciting times. I can't wait for over the weekend again. I think it's going to be a great scene. I love hearing the speeches. A couple of guys, too, in Izzy and Rolen, that don't really get out there in front of people. You don't get a chance to hear that very often, like those guys speaking. And with all the relationships, all the people that have affected their careers along the way, I think it's going to be an interesting one, for sure.
Where does Scott Rolen live right now?
I believe
he's in California?
He's in Indiana. Yeah.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
No,
Indiana.
Not Izzy. Scott.
Oh,
Izzy's
gotcha.
in Edwardsville.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Scott's in Indiana.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know what we'll do here as we wait for Izzy? We'll do some hot topics of the day.
I like that.
And then we will hopefully be able to track down Jason Isringhausen. But I think Do we need to play the Hot Topics of the Day thing? We can get that in a minute. There it is.
Yeah, somebody's always ready around here.
Michael Wacha pitches for the Cardinals tonight, the second of three against Milwaukee. The Cardinal lineup is out, and Harrison Bader is back. And Matt Carpenter's not in the lineup. So that's going to make some people happy. Not that Bader's back, but that Marp isn't. Fowler, Edmund at third, Goldschmidt, Ozuna, DeJong, Yadi, Wonger, Bader, and Wacha. And Harrison Bader had gotten hot at Memphis and was called up this morning, and Randy Arozarena was sent down.
So the Cardinals have done with Harrison Bader exactly what everybody wanted them to do with Arozarena. He got hot, and then they put him right in the lineup and brought him back. Now, certainly there's a lot more familiarity when it comes to Harrison Bader and this big league staff than there was Arozarena.
And a bobblehead night coming up.
Yeah, that's I'm very glad that Harrison at least has numbers to back up the recall. Because it wouldn't have been the best look in the world if, in fact, he just randomly showed up. And maybe we'll just say that he had numbers like Matt Carpenter's on his rehab. And we know that Harrison's wasn't a rehab. It was getting sent down. But he tore it up. He torched AAA. He earned the call-up again. Unfortunately, we didn't really get a chance to see what Randy Arozarena really is at the big league level. Got a couple of opportunities, but nothing really sustainable to run with. We'll see him again in a couple of weeks once rosters expand. Got a couple of more guys coming. Tyler O'Neill's heading out on a rehab this week. Jose Martinez hopefully will be back soon also. So the band's getting back together. Guys, I'm excited to see what Harrison Bader looks like. I wonder if they threw him sliders down the way at AAA.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah,
I really do.
The Giants, or rather the Brewers, will pitch Gio Gonzalez tonight. The Giants will be at Chicago. Tyler Beede in that game against Cole Hamels. And all of a sudden, the Giants are 63-62, so they pose a threat to the Cubs. One afternoon game in the majors, the Angels lead the Rangers 5-1. Mike Trout with home run number 42 on the season, and it had a 112-mile-an-hour exit velocity.
Ooh.
He's all right, that dude.
He's going to be okay. By the way, it's really nice to be sitting alone atop the Central, isn't it? I know it's a half-game lead, but I mean...
I enjoy it. I think there's a group of fans, critics, that would prefer that the Cardinals lose so that they wind up being right. But, yeah, I enjoy being in first place.
I don't think that's very many people.
There's a lot of bitterness out there.
Nah, they'll come back. You know how people are, Randy.
If Matt Carpenter's in the lineup.
Lucky for them, they get to watch tonight. It'll be Tommy Edman over at third base. But once it all comes back and things are going even better and they're in the playoffs, all those naysayers will be back. And they'll be like, I was behind it the whole time. I just get emotional.
Well, I don't think anybody's not behind it. I think that's insulting to people to say you want them to lose to be right.
I think it's true, though.
No, what's happening is, for people who don't believe in this team, there are people who think it's a mirage. And that's a fan who analyzes the team.
Why would this be a casino in Las Vegas? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. That's an old casino, too. It's about done, right?
Sense? No, it's not done. It's doing just fine.
Is
Steve
it really?
Wynn owns it. Yeah, it's doing well.
Nice.
Great real
okay.
estate.
I thought they were going to tear it down and build a new one.
I doubt it.
They always do that.
Yeah, but not yet. How is this a casino in Vegas? Is it because they just take your money? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Give me your money.
Maybe.
Blackjack.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think fans are smart, and I think they have good analytical minds, and they understand what's going on in the league. They see where the Cardinals are, what they have, what their flaws are, and they may not think that this is sustainable, and that's fine. If you believe that, that is perfectly fine.
Tony La Russa would tell us in the media, and I don't think Mike Shildt has this sort of personality, but Tony would always say, just remember, I will always know more about this team than you do.
It's a fact.
And he was right.
Yeah.
And he knows more about this team than Brad or Chris or Randy or anybody listening.
So what does that have to do with the 2019 Cardinals?
Because Mike Shildt has his team in first place.
Yeah. But do you think that it's wrong for a fan to look at your team and know what they have and think, okay, it's good
but
now,
they know
but
what
I just
they
don't
have.
Think.
I mean, tell me what Randy Arozarena is as a major league player.
Would have been nice to see him.
Would it? I mean,
maybe.
Did you not like winning those games?
Well, yeah, but I still would like to see what he is.
At what cost?
Do you think that if he had played, they would have lost all those games by him playing?
I know Tommy Edmund playing right field a couple of times factored big in some wins.
Yeah, that's great, but maybe he would have too.
I don't know. I'm not trying to down Randy Arozarena. I'm just getting excited about a team that's in first place. I just wish we could all be happy about stuff.
Yeah. It's cool.
Sometimes you want to be a stick in the mud and a curmudgeon, and that's fine.
No, you could do both. You could do both. You can understand the team is in first place. They look pretty good
on
right
the sunny
now.
Side and just be happy. Happiness is a fun place to be. It is a great place to be. The sun was up this morning. Sure, it got a little stormy for a minute.
Oh, yeah, but you have to understand that there are a lot of people that think that way, and they're not idiots because they think that way.
No, I'm saying you're an idiot. I wasn't talking about them.
Well, maybe you're an idiot because you're a Pollyanna. You think everything is great all the time.
Very happy person.
Okay.
Fourth best record in the National League, by the way.
That's great. And it's awesome, but it's also...
They're not the Dodgers, Randy. Why are we even watching this team?
Good point.
Do you think people are stupid if they look at this team and think, this is really cool that they're in first place right now, but I don't know if they're going to be in first place in a month? You think people are dumb for thinking that's a possibility?
Remember when the Dodgers won the World Series the last 2 years?
Do you think people are stupid if they think that? You think people are dumb if they think this team is in good shape right now?
I didn't say anything about dumb. I just said I feel bad that they can't enjoy a team that's in first place.
You can do both. So it doesn't have to be one or the other. People can have complicated thoughts. It's not hard.
I get this is just my sense.
I get it.
That they aren't enjoying being in first place because they're so focused on the things that they perceive as bad.
I think it's both. I think people can do both things.
We'd like to hear from you on with the mic drop feature. What do you think? Do you think the Cardinals are bad? And if they win, are you going to be upset because you're not right?
What are your feelings right now? It could be anything. Happy, sad, upset, don't believe in
angry.
This. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the Cardinals?
Yeah. And by the way, is it the manager or is it the players or is it both that you hate? What's next on 101 ESPN? And as he will go into the Cardinals Hall of Fame this weekend, joins us now in the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN in the Fast Lane with BT, Ronge, and Randy. Izzy, thanks for taking some time. How's your speech coming along?
Hey, guys. How are you? No, it's going okay. I think I got it finished. Just got to do a couple periods, exclamation point, pauses, and all that good stuff. We'll see how it goes.
Izzy, where do you think you would feel more comfortable? On the mound, bases loaded, nobody out, games on the line, obviously. That's where you worked, high wire act, or on a stage making a speech?
Well, I used to load the bases pretty regularly, so I'd probably be more confident there than giving speeches. This is something I really, really don't like doing, but it's something that I have to do and get better at, so... Here we go.
It's going to be awesome, man. I can't wait to see it. I'm excited for the moment, and I know you are too. How many do you have tons of family and friends coming in for this? I mean, it's an enormous ordeal.
Yeah, I got, 23 people coming total. So, and then there's going to be a bunch of friends that said they were coming up for it's first come, first serve into the Ballpark Village. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people there, I think.
Are you getting any assistance, any tips at all in writing that speech?
Actually, yeah. I've asked Danny Mack for some advice because he's such a good public speaker, and he's helping me with some of the do's and don'ts and how to pause and when to look up and when not, you know, things like that. So, Danny Mack does a great job of emceeing everything. So I've reached out to him, and he's helped me out quite a bit.
If you want to get a laugh, BT was telling us during the commercial break that there are no holds barred in regards to telling Brad Thompson stories. So whatever you got is available to you.
Yeah, don't do that.
Actually, Brad is in the speech, so it's going to be good. So, I mean, I hope it's good. I mean, I hope it's entertaining, and I hope it's not boring and dragging along and everybody's falling asleep. So I'll have to
It's going to be unreal. It is going to be a blast. Izzy, looking at some numbers just earlier today, looking at closers in the game right now, and certainly you have a couple of them that are top-notch. Kimbrel, everybody knows. Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman. I mean, some big-time arms. And guys, that are approaching the threshold that you're at. 300 saves. Do you think from here on out we're going to see many more 300-save guys?
There's a few that have a chance right now, but I also believe that the way teams go through guys, I don't know. You hopefully there's a couple guys here and there that can do it and stay doing it. But it seems like guys have very short leashes. I mean, they give up a few, they give up a few saves, and the next thing you know, they're replaced by somebody. And then, They do it for a little bit. I mean, I still believe it's the hardest thing to do in sports besides a field goal kicker, and because there's nobody, there's no safety net behind you. So we'll see. I hope there's more guys. I hope the Cardinals have a guy that can do it one time, but we'll see how it goes.
When you made that transition from being a starter to finishing games, what was the most difficult part of that? Was it the safety net kind of feel that you're talking about, or was it something else?
No, I think for me more than anything, it was the being ready to pitch every day. You know, you have to save your bullets. And I mean, my goal, I wanted to pitch every single day, so I have to really watch how much you warm up and how much you play catch in between outings. And it's just about saving your bullets. And I think that was the hardest thing for me to get going. I would, you know, you can't throw 60 or 70 pitches, you know, warming up for a game and then think you're going to do it four or five times a week. And that's the main thing I tried to express to young kids that want to be a reliever is, you know, find a routine that works for you, and then make it even shorter so you can get ready in 15 pitches or so.
What was the absolute key for you when you moved from the rotation into the bullpen? What was the biggest thing that you learned about being a reliever, like you said, preparing for a game?
I don't know, Randy. I think it was just like the mental side of it, being able to, no matter what, knowing that if I went out there, I had to go out there at 70% sometimes, and then trying to get people out with 70% of your best stuff. You know, using your defense when you have, you know, when you're tired. There's a time and place to try to throw your hardest pitch of the day, and then sometimes there's not. I mean, it's just a mental game, a cat and mouse game with everybody, and it just never stops. But it's a lot of fun.
And I don't want to make a blanket statement about everybody and every player, and I don't want to sound like a really old guy saying nowadays, but those things that you're talking about, Izzy, the going out there not being 100%, the having to be creative, I feel like that's something that could end up getting lost sometimes. You know how it is, man. There are some guys that if they're not perfect, they can't take the ball. I think it takes a special kind of guy to be able to play as long as you play the game.
Yeah, I think you're right, Brad. It's you know, knowing that when you go out there every single day, you're not going to have your best fastball. And sometimes you're relying on a curveball, or you're just making up a pitch, just trying to get through the day. And, you know, you're praying that they hit it at somebody. And I think that's the main thing.
Izzy, you know what? I was lucky enough, and I'm sure that you benefited from this a little bit. You were talking about relying on maybe you got the fastball one day, maybe you got the curveball, maybe you got a gold glover over at third base that stabs absolutely everything. And Scott Rolen is going into the Cardinal Hall of Fame alongside you. When you think of Scott Rolen, what do you think about?
Well, I never worried about, you know, throwing a fastball in on a righty, making sure that he tried to pull the ball to Scotty. Scotty was the best third baseman I ever played with and one of the best that ever played a game. And Scotty was a gamer. You know, he played it the right way. He played it we call it the Cardinal way. He did it the right way. And, you know, it's a great honor to go in with him. But, you know, and that same thing, he deserves to be here. And, when you had the defense that we had in those years, you just tried to keep it in the ballpark, and it seemed to work out for us.
Yeah, we were talking about him a little bit ago, and we are of the mindset, I think collectively here, that he's somebody that should get more national recognition than he does. Do you think ultimately that will come for him?
I don't know. I think his career got cut a little short with the shoulder injuries, but the way that, you know, I think if they look at the lump sum of his career, the years that he played, and the accolades, and the gold gloves, the defense, the big home runs in the playoffs. I think there's nobody, you know, there's nobody more deserving than him. But when they look at everything, they're looking at a longer career. And Scotty just was cut short with that bad shoulder from that shoulder injury.
Hey, Izzy, before we let you go, I'm just thinking about this, you being up on that stage and being able to don that red jacket. That's such a big deal for you guys now, and especially being up there with Jimmy Edmonds and Scott, obviously, and Ozzy and Whitey and the whole gang. Can you imagine what that's going to be like, being able to wear the red jacket with all of those guys?
Well, I mean, to me, it's a dream come true. I mean, I grew up, you know, 40 minutes from the stadium. I grew up watching all of those guys and listening to those guys on the radio, listening to Shannon, and just to be up there with those. I mean, it's just amazing, Randy. As you can imagine, it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people, and it's just a dream come true for me. And I'm just hoping I don't make a buffoon of myself when I try to speak in front of everybody. That's all I care about right this minute.
You're going to be great. Izzy, one quick tip. Don't forget to thank your wife. A couple of years ago, I got my jersey retired at my college. I thanked everybody. Except for Andrea.
You went to college?
Yeah, you might want
to.
Yeah, little one. 2 years, never retired. No big deal. If you donate enough money, they'll put your jersey up. It's fantastic. So you got to make sure you get Lori into that thing right off the bat.
I got her. She's after mom and dad.
Okay.
She's in there. Don't worry.
Perfect. Beautiful. Good for you.
Izzy, you're the best. Congratulations. We're really excited for you.
Thank you guys so much. It's going to be a fun day. Hopefully, I see you guys out there. We'll have some fun.
You bet. That is the great Jason Isringhausen joining us, the Cardinal Hall of Famer, Jason Isringhausen, on 101 ESPN. Coming up after a loss on Friday, BT apparently got a win yesterday. I don't think it's apparently, is it?
He won.
I mean, I got all four. I mean, yeah, I was counting. I don't know who's counting.
Yeah. So we've got a new fighter coming your way next in the 4 o'clock fight on 101 ESPN.